Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power, and this is what we are really going to be focusing on. Your power, your individuality, and how you can become aware of what really is inside of you that perhaps you have been yearning to express, you've wondered how to do it. And I know there's some fellows that are listening and on the show, and I know we said this is Cellular Wisdom for Women. That's the title of the publication I'm going to be talking about today by Joan C. King. But fellas, know that there's wisdom in this for you, too, if nothing else, to perhaps help that special lady in your life have an understanding that her greatness she can discover. Joan King, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you so much, Donna. I'm so delighted to be on your show.
You're called an author and a visionary, but Joan, you have had quite an unusual background.
Yes,
and
I do.
I really think that what brings so much richness to the book that you have written, Cellular Wisdom for Women, is that you have walked a routing that in some respects might have been considered the right way to go for you, but it's almost as if you had to go through these experiences to really discover who you are.
Absolutely.
And it's really something. Now, you have had a very successful academic career.
I have.
And you sort of dumped that in the garbage can after a while, saying, whoops, I think I'm going to go another way.
Exactly.
Of course, that's being a little melodramatic there, but
that's
really,
about what I thought.
Yes, and but that takes a lot of courage. But let's start, because Cellular Wisdom for Women, you have it broken down into a number of different sections. And
yes,
it's a workbook,
yes,
as well
is,
as being something where it enables you to share with others. The very first part is a question I don't know. Everybody I've ever met has asked this question of themselves in one form or another. Who am I?
Absolutely.
And I want to share some of your poems, and that's another unique aspect to your book. You have done some very nice poetry. And this one reads, I'm five. It's my birthday. Why didn't I grow today? Everybody said, you're going to be a big girl when you're five. Why didn't I grow this morning? My birthday's almost over. I'm not a big girl. Something's wrong with me. Now, when I read that and I thought of a five-year-old in thinking, I go, wow, why would you have thought something was wrong with you?
Well, you know, it was so strange because I swear I thought I would start growing when I woke up and that I'd grow inches and inches and inches, and by the end of the day, my interpretation of a big girl would be I'd be more than 5 feet tall. And I really thought that. I don't know where I got that idea, but I really thought it. So when I was still the short little kid, and I wasn't the over 5 feet tall girl, I thought, well, something must be wrong with me because it didn't happen. It was such a clear measure. I mean, that's what I expected to be. And, you know, children interpret things in ways that not necessarily rational thought directs. And
oh,
this,
that's true. That is
this
so
was
true.
Not a rational thought. It was just an image I had. And I thought I'd be stretching up and stretching up and stretching up. At the end of the day, I'd be a big girl.
I can recall when I was little how disappointed I was because my imagination was very vivid. And people would tell me things or say, oh, something's going to be so exciting. And I would look at it and I go, when I actually was brought in front of it, I go, this is exciting? You've got to be kidding me. You know, and you're just a little squirt. You go, but the paint's chipping off. I don't get it. Why is this supposed to be so exciting? And it's amazing. We don't realize that children are thinking and analyzing And to you, what is big, a big girl, like you said, it's over 5 feet tall. You just
That's
thought,
right.
Well, bingo, I'm supposed to be there. After
That's
all,
right.
It happens, you know, in cartoons, we see all of these different things. How, what's going wrong here?
Right.
So that poem is poignant, but the next one is even more poignant. Why, Daddy?
Yeah.
Why did you leave me?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you leave me with Mother? I'm only 10. Yesterday, you were on the ladder with your hammer working on the apartment. At supper last night, you were laughing. This morning they told me, you died. I didn't believe them. I kept shaking my head and said, no, no, it can't be true. My daddy can't be dead. When? When did you die? When did you die? Why did you leave me? You wouldn't have left if I was good enough.
Yeah.
Those are painful words.
Oh, yes, it still brought tears to my eyes right now when you said it, because I really believed that if I was good enough, he wouldn't have left.
And this was a transformational period
when
this happened to you.
It made me realize that the world that I saw wasn't real, that there was more to life that I couldn't see. And it was then that I began to look for the real that is not observable, because I had thought that my father would be there forever. And,
mm-hmm.
of course, as a child, that was another irrational thought, but that's what I thought. And to have him, it turned out he had a heart attack after I went to sleep, was brought to the hospital. This was at the time when they didn't let children come visit in the
mm-hmm.
adult
mm-hmm.
ward, and he died before noon. So between after I went to sleep tonight and when they told me, I never saw him. So I never saw him ill. I never saw him in any way compromised. So he went from this vital strapping, and his laugh was so infectious. So his laugh the night before, he used to lean back on the chair on the two back legs and just bellow out a laugh, and he would always get everybody else laughing because his laugh was so infectious. And so that was my last image of him,
mm-hmm.
and then he was gone,
mm-hmm.
and there was no more. So I knew that what I was seeing was not permanent. And therefore, I started to say, well, what is permanent?
Mm-hmm.
What lasts forever?
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that's what started me looking for the deeper meaning of things beyond the observable.
Now, you made, let me, I'm flipping some pages here. You also make a statement in your book right in the beginning. When did your not good enough messages start? Of course, you're addressing this to the reader.
Yes.
It's subtle things many times that will affect us. And
well, there's so many of my clients that, and friends who have told me, well, I can't do this. And I'll say, well, what evidence do you have that you can't do this? Oh, I tried to do that when I was 6 and I was told I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wait a minute. You're a grown human being. Can't you now revisit that? But so many of us live with the condemnations of things that we heard when we were children. No, you can't do that. Or, no, you're not smart. Or, no, you don't have what it takes to do that. Or, what makes you think you can do that?
Mm-hmm.
And that can happen. I mean, that can happen before we're 7. And we can live a lot of our lives out of those lies. Because it might have been true when we were 7, but it doesn't mean it's true today.
Yes, and the child does not recognize that maybe an adult is having a lousy moment.
That's correct.
And maybe mother has just burned the roast, or she doesn't have, or father doesn't have money to pay the bills, and they'll
right.
say, you're stupid, or, you know, words will flow out of people's mouths.
And oh, yeah.
It doesn't have to be family. It can be teachers. It
oh,
can
yeah.
be, you know, all kinds of people. Life, I've found, doesn't follow a straight line, and there's nothing fair about it.
That's correct.
So here you are, and we're starting off in your workbook with various stories that you share, but here you are in this situation, and you have adopted, nobody's forced it on you, but you've adopted this attitude about not being good enough.
Yes.
And I was intrigued with the fact that you decided you were going to go into a convent.
That's right.
You'll have to tell us what motivated you to do that.
Well, at the time, I was also going out with a guy whose name was George, and George wanted 10 children.
10 kids?
10 kids.
Oh, boy.
And I thought, you know, if I'm going to grab the essence of meaning of life, what does that mean for me? Does it mean going someplace where I can have the time to meditate, to pray, and to connect with that deeper part of life, which I was sure was there? Or am I going to be so busy raising children, raising 10 children? Now, you got to realize this is no condemnation to the marvelous job of raising children. This is, but I'm 17 years old when I'm thinking this, and I don't know that yet.
Right.
And so what motivated me was I will have time to really delve into spirit. I will have time to pray, to think, to be silent, to meditate, to learn, to grow. And I remember the moment I was standing in a church in New Orleans right off of St. Charles Avenue at Loyola University in the chapel, and the light, true, this is like a movie picture, but I remember it so clearly. The light was coming in the stained glass window, and I can remember hearing in my heart, you're meant for bigger things in life. You're meant to know the real truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that just was, that cinched it for me. That night I went home and told George, no, we're not going to get married, and we're not going to have 10 kids. I'm going into the convent.
And you actually were accepted in the convent.
I was. I was. I was there 11 years, and I took final vows. I taught all of the chemistries at Dominican College except physical chemistry. I did all the chemistry labs. I was on the summer times, the National Science Foundation used to send us those who were teaching in college without a PhD, because I needed to start teaching as soon as I finished my BS degree because they needed me. So the National Science Foundation sent me to Florida State University where I did nuclear physics and chemistry. They sent me to American University and the National Institutes of Physical Health where I did gas liquid chromatography. They sent me to City College in New York, CCNY, where I did advanced organic and inorganic chemistries. And I'd do that in the summers and then come back and teach. What started to happen, though, is I started to see that I was becoming this perfect nun, but I was drying up inside.
In fact, you ended up getting ill.
I got ill.
And
I did.
There was a particular Chilean neurologist.
That's right, Garcia Oye.
And
he said to me, I used to fall down on the floor where I couldn't move a muscle for maybe a few minutes, 10, maybe, I don't remember how long, because psychological time is not dependable. It could have been 2 minutes, it could have been 10 minutes, but for whatever amount of time it was, I could not move a muscle. I could breathe, I couldn't talk, but I could hear everything that was being said. And so he said to me, he called it familial paralysis, which today with my experience in medical school, I mean, I know what that means. We can't explain it and you get paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't a label, it was just a verbal description. But when he whispered to me, Joan, leave the convent and this will never happen to you again, I was amazed because I was so driven to be the perfect nun.
Mm-hmm.
And if I wanted to walk on the right-hand side of the street, I walked on the left. If I wanted to take a hot shower, I took a cold shower. If I wanted to talk to person A, I talked to person B. It was this asceticism, this sense of denial. And I began to feel like I was shriveling up like a dried prune. And there was this one moment when we were having a bunch of us were having a discussion. You could only talk on holidays because we had the grand silence every night. And this person said to me, I was complaining that the rules were not encouraging the spirit of love, but the spirit of law. And she said to me, I'll never forget it. If you don't like it so much, why don't you leave?
Mm-hmm.
I had never thought of leaving in 11 years. Never, not once. And I went back to my little room called a cell, and I danced all night long saying, I can leave. I can leave. I can leave.
Isn't that amazing?
The next morning, I told the Mother Superior I was leaving. I told her in October I'd be leaving in June because I knew she needed the time to get people to teach all my 21 semester hours of chemistry.
So there you are. You made a decision that quickly.
That's right.
And what that tells, and of course in your workbook you go through various exercises that would enable someone to have a realization of their own if they so desire. But what that told you is that there was an assumption of responsibility and obligation that you had taken on, and when someone said those words to you, if you don't like it, why don't you leave? I mean, that's nothing sweet and nice and logical. It was just very direct and abrupt. But yet that was like, okay, I've been given permission.
Exactly. Exactly. It was like I had always thought I had to labor under the problem. And that's the issue. We don't have to labor under problems. There's always a transcendent way out. And I have to tell you, not for one millisecond since I left the convent have I been sorry that I made that decision. It was a fabulous decision for me to make.
Mm-hmm.
It was also a good decision for me to go into the convent.
Mm-hmm.
Being in the convent for 11 years has given me a lot of discipline, has given me a lot of an appreciation of silence, of connectedness to spirit, and leaving the convent gave me a sense of belief in what was true for me in the inner world, which was spirit couldn't ask me to die inside. That could not be a directive. And I looked so perfect, everybody couldn't believe why I wanted to leave, because I was an excellent teacher. I got awards all the time. So what was wrong? Well, what was wrong was not something you could see. What was wrong was I knew I was going to wind up a shell of a person with nothing inside.
Now,
and I'm not saying that's true for all religious people.
No.
By any matter of means. It was true for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the decision to have the courage to believe in my own inner truth while the rest of the world thought I was crazy to leave was a marvelous exercise in understanding the truth of your inner self.
As I said, your journey has been quite an interesting one. Now, you entered into the world of academia.
Right.
And they welcomed you. I mean, anybody that has a background in physics, chemistry as you do, and
right.
11 years of teaching, awards, all of these things, they were just thrilled to have someone like you come into their space. How did your life change when went into that environment?
I went into science with the same kind of voraciousness that I had gone into the convent. And I was now going to find answers in science that I didn't find in the convent. And so I was very industrious, and I was wrenching the answers out of cells as I studied them. And I got my PhD in 1972 from Tulane in physiological psychology and neuroscience, and then did a lot of my work at Tulane Medical School, and then went to the University of Iowa for a postdoc, and then to Tufts Medical School, where I was from 79 to 99. And 98 to 99, I took a sabbatical, and 98, I founded my coaching business. But what I thought I would find in academia was the answers in the study of science, particularly the brain and the nervous system, that I hadn't found in religion. And interestingly, I wound up in a very prestigious place, chair of anatomy and cellular biology for the medical, dental, and veterinary schools, and a director of a research center for the three campuses of Tufts, Boston, Medford, and Grafton. So again, on the outside, I looked like I was ultimately successful. I had almost the same feeling as the convent of being squeezed inside, so that if I stayed, I was going to die inside. And I can remember asking, is this all there is?
Like the Patti Page song.
That's right. Just like the Patti Page song. And so I decided to take a sabbatical and do some writing and find out where my answers would lie. And the first poem I wrote was, Who's There?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you take away all the roles and you take away all the titles and you take away everything else, what's the essence of me? And for the first time, I invited myself to come out and say I wouldn't judge you, and that I knew that I was spirit, and I knew that I was free, and I wanted to know the beauty of my being.
There was also a suicide of Denise Denton.
Yes, there was.
The 46-year-old chancellor of the University of California in Santa Cruz.
That's correct. And she jumped off a building and killed herself.
And that affected you
very
tremendously.
Very much. Because here is, she was a physicist. She was very competent. She was masculine looking. The students made a lot of fun about her on the blogs of the university, etc. Obviously, she felt like she was not good enough. I mean, she must have felt that way to kill herself. And so what that also told me is that it's not how smart you are. That's not, you will never answer that question, not good enough, by looking at information or data. You will never tell someone who feels that way that, but look at your accomplishments, because to them they're nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's and that's what the journey of Cellular Wisdom for Women is like, because the second to last chapter is passion and purpose. And the last chapter is, Yes, I Am.
Mm-hmm.
And the book is the journey from coming from that place of feeling not good enough, going through the many excuses you hear, like I can't do this till, or too emotional, and getting to the place of, you have a purpose in this life. And it is a unique person. And like Martha Graham, the dancer, used to say in her beautiful poetry, that if you don't perform your role, there will be a hole in the universe, because there is no one else that can bring your talents and experiences and interests and contribute to the world the way you can.
I couldn't agree with you more.
And so we need, women cannot step back and not contribute. And when we believe we're not good enough, who's going to want to contribute? And so the journey of understanding that I began to understand the magnificence of my being when I began to articulate my concept of cellular wisdom. Because then it wasn't an ego thing that made me feel strong and capable. It was a connection to an energy that was keeping me alive and had within it this deeply embedded wisdom.
There is a poem you have written, and I'll read it on passion and purpose. The ocean, vast and blue, sparkling in the Hawaiian sunlight, called out to me, Yes, you can. I felt my spirit expand into the vastness of the ocean, and I knew I could swell the passion of my heart into waves of silent purpose to become the vastness of one. I could choose who I become.
Yes.
I could choose who I become. Those words are so significant. And many times, and this is what your book gives as a gift, that every one of us has a journey that we go through. And when we can share that journey, as you have done through this wonderful workbook, the experiences we have, it enables those that maybe cannot, they need to have a safe place, and your book is a safe place of expression.
I hope so.
Yes.
That was my intention.
And it's a safe place for them to go, and it's their space, it's their place, and the pages they can write on and they can fill in, but they can come to a point of recognizing that they have a choice. And that to me is so significant, because so many times people, I mean, it's just like the stuff that's going on, the garbage that's going on in the world today. People say, oh, we don't have a choice. Yes, we do have a choice.
We do.
We have a choice.
Yes.
If you don't like it, then change your actions in some way. Do
that's
something.
Right.
There's no, there is a way to create a change. I think one of the most moving pieces that I found in your book was when you're with your husband, And you said from time to time you had doubted the love he had for you.
Mm-hmm.
Not because he did anything to cause that doubt, but this was just
nope.
something. This was your inner conversation that went
That's
on.
That's right.
And finally you came to that moment where you realized how much he loved you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you told him, and he just said to you these simple words, finally, you know I love you.
And tears were coming down his eyes when he told me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time I realized actually the pain I had caused him because I didn't believe in his love. And the reason I didn't believe in his love is I didn't feel worthy of it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't him. He had been there, standing there, loving me all the time. And when finally I woke up and I realized it, that freedom was so extraordinary.
When you realized it, didn't you also find that in that realization, the layers of indoctrination had peeled away from you finally?
They dropped off like veils that are discarded, yes. And I could literally feel them dropping off from me. They were no longer imprisoning me. I was no longer imprisoned by these thoughts of unworthiness. I
mm-hmm.
woke up to who the reality of who I am and each of us is. It isn't that I'm that special, but it is that I am a part of being that is alive and dynamic and creative and expansive. And I can rely on that.
As I told my listeners, your journey is a fascinating one. Your book, Cellular Wisdom for Women, it's an inner work book. It's the kind of book that just belongs to whoever buys it. And this is going to be your journey. It's going to be your story. And you'll be able to share the journey that Joan's gone through. You won't feel alone. And you'll find that you'll have a sense of self-awareness that comes to you. And I want to close out before we get your website with this wonderful poem you have at the very end. You go, shh, slip into the silent stillness. Shh. Let the wanderings of the mind go, float in the myriad chambers of your soul's depth. Slip into the presence of being. Everything you yearn for is here. Feel the fullness of I am in all the dimensions of your being. Experience all your hopes, all your dreams realized. Discover you are the I am. Joan, your book is a wonderful publication. What is your website so my listeners can follow up and check out some information about you if they desire?
Certainly, www.cellular-wisdom.com.
Cellular-wisdom.com. We have about a minute, and is there something you'd like to leave my listeners with in the way of a thought?
Yes. I offer, if you form a book club, and work together with the exercises, which some of you will feel real benefit from doing that. I offer to have a telephone conversation with you, with the whole group, at a time that's most appropriate. Sometimes it's in the middle of the book, sometimes it's toward the end, so that you can ask me the questions that maybe you haven't found answers for in the book.
That is amazing. That's wonderful.
Yes.
So they can go to your website,
mm-hmm.
and this would be a wonderful workbook if there were two or three women that wanted to get together and do something like this, and
mm-hmm.
no judgment. It's
nope.
just having, again, that feeling of safety. Women are very comfortable doing this. I don't
That's
know
right.
that men are, necessarily. It's a different way of thinking. But even, you know, I just think that this is a very good interactive workbook, but you want to be sure that there are those people that want to share it with you, and to offer to do a phone call with them is just absolutely incredible. So go to her website, cellular-wisdom.com. Joan King, thank you so much for being my guest today.
You're so welcome. It was an absolute pleasure.
Cellular Wisdom for Women, an Inner Workbook. Joan C. King has been my guest. Again, go to her website, cellular, Wisdom.com. And don't forget about the book clubs, because if you form one, you'll be able to interact with her directly. Check out our website. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be coming back in just a little bit. Don't go away. More good things to share.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.DelphiInternational.com. That 800 number again,
872-8852. Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open. This is the telephone number you call into from anywhere in the world, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, if you're a first-time listener, we're so delighted to have you as a part of the program. But just know that when you call in, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, you're welcome to ask me about anything that you like. So again, telephone number 888-815-9756. Do you want to make sure that your investments, whatever you've got, is going to last a while? Well, I came across some tips that I really thought were very, very interesting. One is appliances. Holy Moses. I don't know about you, the last time maybe you went shopping for a stove or a refrigerator or whatever, But they're not inexpensive. They're really a major purchase. And I happened to be going through some items at home just this past weekend, and I was surprised at how long I'd had a particular appliance. And I said, this is really amazing. They last a long time, and before you know it, when something does start to go wrong, you'll go, why is it going wrong now? We have really gotten to a point where major appliances like your stove, your refrigerator, your freezers, your washers, your dryers, I mean, your microwaves, they'll last for years and years. Well, if you take care of them, for example, like your refrigerator, if you vacuum your condenser coils and get a lot of dust in them, if you vacuum it, it will keep your refrigerator running much more smoothly. If there's too much dust down around the coils, then it causes the refrigerator not to be able to operate as efficiently. So clean it a few times a year with a vacuum nozzle, and then you've got it just right there, and it's all taken care of. Also, if you have a washing machine, you want to keep it in tip-top shape, run an Ipti load on the hottest cycle without any clothes inside and pour in 3 cups of distilled white vinegar. Why? Vinegar is mildly acidic, so it eliminates soap residue and buildup in the machine's inner tub, which is the leading cause of washing machines breaking down. Also, something else you need to be aware of, if you have a washing machine that is an automatic has an automatic load adjusting unit in it, don't be surprised if for some reason things go wild and wacky. There are plastic pieces instead of steel pieces now that are used, and that plastic can become brittle. So that is another area of repair with washing machines. There is a little, what do I want to call it, a gasket that fits in a certain spot and helps to keep the load barrel balanced. And so consequently, when you have things that are real heavy or the weight gets misdistributed in the tub itself, the wash tub, it will eventually cause that to break. I know because that's what happened to me. Also, with your dishwasher, this is something I have not tried, but iron deposits especially, and soap buildup can damage a dishwasher's parts. But lemonade works. Now, I'd heard about Tang, but I hadn't heard about lemonade, which I guess is pretty equal to it. And you pour a packet of powdered lemonade into the detergent cup and run an empty load. Now, what happens is the citric acid that's in the lemonade, just like in the Tang, wipes out stains and odors and is abrasive enough that it removes any buildup. So those are just some tips with that. Also, when it comes to the computer, if you want to crash-proof it, well, you want to be sure to clean up your computer desktop. Now, how do you do that? Well, if you are aware that every photo or document you keep there takes up twice as much power memory as if it had been saved to a folder. So all you need to do is create one big folder on your desktop and transfer every file to it so your screen is free and clear, and then your computer is going to be a lot more, well, efficient, will operate at a faster speed, and will not crash. Also, there are computer experts that are recommending that you not keep your computer on all the time. This is because of new technology. They recommend that you turn it off at night. Turning the power off automatically disconnects you from the Internet, of course, so you're protected from any damaging viruses or power surges. Now, there is this computer expert, John Allman, and he is one of the Geek Squad personnel, and he said when you keep your computer on constantly, it increases the amount of dust that circulates through the machine, and too much dust buildup can cause the components to corrode or even overheat, resulting in a crash. I remember the first time I saw a hard drive disassembled and the amount of dust that was inside of it. It is amazing. So little tips like that can really help. And also, if your computer is freezing up on you, you're running out of space. So delete any files you no longer use. And if you still want to store a lot more digital photos or videos, upload the pictures to 2 of these websites, and this is recommended by Mr. Allman. Go to Shutterfly.com or Flickr.com. That's Flickr.com. and send then videos to youtube.com or motionbox.com. They'll give you a free and private account, so only you and the people you want can see whatever you've got there. And you'll never lose them, even if your computer crashes. And don't forget to empty your trash or recycle bins. You know, even if you delete something, that space isn't freed up until you empty the bins. We watched a program just last week that was really scary in one sense. And I don't use that word very often. But this was an expose done on all of this computer equipment that is sent to India and to China and Africa. All the trash sent away from the United States. And in Africa, there were some investigators. They found out that there was a big black market on hard drives. And lots of people, they get new computers, and they think they've erased their hard drives. But they haven't. Those hard drives are still there, available for people to read. And they had people show them exactly what they did to get information. And in the process of doing this, they came across something that was associated with a major Department of Security here in the United States. They gave all kinds of information on various aspects of security. And this group that was doing the research went back to the security division, and all of this supposedly had been erased off of the hard drive. But they can actually locate it. So he said, you know the best way to do it? Take a hammer to the hard drive in your computer and smash it. That is the only way that you're going to make sure that any private information that you have will not get in the wrong hands. So I'm sharing that with you. This was really scary in the sense that you can have all kinds of information there. If you've ordered anything on the internet, all of that is automatically recorded. So there may be those people that say they can erase all of this stuff, but if you really want to be safe, smash it with a hammer. Donate the computer if you want, but get that hard drive batch of information out. Don't let anybody process it. Don't take a chance. Believe me, this is being done every day, and that's one of the reasons why they have access, some of the crooks, to a lot of information that otherwise you would say, I don't understand how these people in Nigeria have gotten this. Where in the world did they find me? Well, it's amazing. It really is. Now, by the way, 4th of July is coming up. It's right around the corner. If you want to make sure you don't miss festivities, it might be in your area, dependent on where you are. I just want to share this with you. Go to festivals.com. And perhaps I mentioned this already, but type in your zip code because you will find a calendar of events in your local area that you may want to be aware of. Here in the Pacific Northwest, there are many different places that have decided not to have big fireworks like they've done in the past. So there are specific areas you can go into, and they're already making plans for like 15, 20,000 additional people to go to various events because they know that these other particular locales are not going to be having the fireworks. So if you want, you can just check it out and see what's going on. Again, go to festivals.com, type in your zip code, and you'll get your particular batch of information you need. And if you do really want to go out and about, if you don't like large crowds, Macy's 4th of July Fireworks Spectacular is going to be just absolutely awesome. So check your television guide to find out about that on the 4th. And, of course, there's always the wonderful, wonderful celebration that's done from the Capitol or maybe from your major city that's close to wherever you are. But it's a fabulous, fabulous way. Whatever you choose to do, it can be a lot of fun. Also, I wanted to share with you, if you want to get some free plants for your gardens, well, there is a website called freetreesandplants.com. freetreesandplants.com. You can go into their database, and you will find that they have had access to overstocks at various nurseries, and various growers will just put this there for them to be able to give away. And they will send you any plant you request for free. You just pay the $7.99 for shipping. If you don't know what you're looking for, You can go to another website called blossomswap.com where you can trade extra seed packets you have with other users to get any plant you like. We live in an amazing world. All these people out there coming up with all these wonderful ideas. Donna Sebo here. Give me a call if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We'll be coming back in just a minute.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Well, for those of you in the state of Washington, a wonderful event is going to be happening starting in August, and I'm giving some beginning information out about it right now because in the first three weekends of August, there's an event called the Renaissance, the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. And I've been involved with these people for a number of years, and it's just a delight. Last year, due to circumstances, they weren't able to have the event, but this year it's going to be held in Buckley, Washington. And there's all kinds of activities, wonderful, wonderful happenings. So I invite you to go to their website, the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. Check out all of the wonderful information, and I'm going to have some free tickets to give away for families. So this is something I'll be giving you more information about as we get towards the end of the week, and I want you to know that there's going to be an opportunity for you to be able to get free passes to this absolutely incredible event that's magical for the entire family. So more details will be upcoming, and we'll give you the details on how you can win that free pass. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756 if you'd like to chat with me. Remember, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Neil Donald Walsh. When everything changes, change everything. That's what we're going to be talking about tomorrow. We are in a cycle of change, and Neil has some wonderful wisdoms to share. So tell your friends and check in with me, and we'll be able to put this all together for you. I wanted to share something with you about a woman. Her name is Lema Grobe, and she lives in Liberia. This is a woman. Her picture is in front of me, and as a mother, she was in, what do I want to say, the horrific environment of war. She said that it was just absolutely awful, and she said we were having peace talks, and it was July in 2003. She said, I really didn't think there was any opportunity with these peace talks. There was no hope for change. And women had been gathering together for quite a while, arguing that the war had to come to an end. They were tired of their sons, their husbands, their children, various women, all of the horrific things that come with war. They were weary of them. Well, they had, for a long time, tried to be able to make a difference. And it just seemed to get worse. The louder they spoke up, it seemed like there was just a magnification of things. So here she is at these peace talks, being held at the moment that she was reviewing all kinds of information regarding the peace talks. Mortar bombs were hitting the U.S. Embassy in Liberia. 60 people outside of the embassy were killed. She was watching this information. This is a woman who had reached a point of hopelessness until she saw this video. And then she got mad. She said to an associate, "I want you to gather as many women as you can." And she said, "We are going to go into this peacekeeping meeting right now." Well, that's what they did. They went into this hotel that was a very luxurious hotel where the meeting was being held. And she said to all of the women that joined her, which there was quite a sizable crowd, she said, "We're sitting right here." She sat down on the polished floor. The other women began to join her. And there were others that were blocking doors coming into the hall. They lined the walls. The hall itself, she said, looked like a sea of white. The women were wearing white t-shirts. More than 100 women had showed up. More were coming in. And then an announcement came over. Said, "Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, the peace hall has been seized by General Lema and her troops." She was General Lema. Well, security guards came in from everywhere. They wanted to know who the leader was. She said, "I am." And they said, "Well, you're obstructing justice. You can't be doing this." And she was furious. And she was wearing a head wrap, which is traditional in her country. She said, "I'm going to make it very easy for you to arrest me." And she started taking off this head wrap. Now, in West Africa, it's a curse for a man to see a mother naked. As she began to remove her shirt, she took off her headpiece. The guards were just saying, "Please, don't do this. Do not do this." And the general who was attending the peace meeting, General Abu Bakr, said, "These women and I..." She spoke to him. She said, "These women and I are not moving one inch until those men in there promise to take these peace talks seriously." One of the warlords that was attending this meeting lifted his leg to kick one of the women. And the General Abu Bakr looked at him and said, "I dare you to do that. If you were a real man, you wouldn't be killing your people, but because you're not a real man, that is why these women will treat you like boys. I dare you to leave this hall until we have negotiated a peace with these women." She said, "As women, as refugees, as survivors of war, our weakness was our strength. Who is stronger than a mother protecting her children? Who knows better than a wife when her husband is behaving like a child? What man, what gun, can withstand a woman who is ready to stand up, or should I say, sit down for what she believes in?" She said, "You might want to know that the elected president of Liberia in November of 2005 was a Harvard-educated economist and former United Nations official. Her name is Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, the first ever female head of the state in Africa, also the first mother and the first grandmother, and she's done a terrific job. This woman went through an experience that I don't know that any of us would want to do, but she stood up. She stood tall. Remember always that you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Standing up and declaring who you are, being proud of who you are, whether you're male or female, is important. And the right for peace, the right for justice. Well, we can have it. We can earn it. but we do have to stand our ground and not be afraid. This is Donna Sebo. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Neil Donald Walsh will be my guest. I invite you and your friends to join me. We'll be right here, same time, same place, on bbsradio.com. Bye for
now. You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.